Something.
Okay.
Don't play like John
Stewart.
Can't count.
Okay.
Would you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, will you call roll call, please?
President Graves?
Here.
Vice President Dawson?
Present.
Director Simon?
Present.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
Thank you. Before we... Do you want to make a correction to an item, staff?
We can wait till we...
Okay.
Calendar.
This is the time for public comment. If anybody in the audience has anything they would like to talk about other than what's on, that is not on the agenda, this is your time to come forward and your 3 minutes to speak. Do we have anybody that wants? Please come forward.
I've got a couple comments in a couple different directions. First of all, regarding the letter, memo, whatever it was from the acting director of the Department of Building and Waterways, I'm sure everybody in this room's probably read that, and it's taken the same alarm as I have to the statement that the state will no longer participate financially in this next year. So once again, we have a government entity launching into a multi-year project without a real plan. I know it's not this entity's primary responsibility to deal with this, but this board does have AC, or extends itself into the AC realm, and I do believe that already this area is delinquent in getting its act together for next year. Of course, Rocky 100, the county, and to some extent the state, and maybe even federal, needs to play a role in this. But there needs to be a catalyst now. There's not going to be enough time to get this amount of money together and to have the necessary impact on the waterways that everybody is going to expect again next year. The treatment wasn't a one-time thing, but unfortunately the state and everybody else accepted it, I guess, as that. And now everything's left to chance. So I think this board really needs to take a serious look at this and to figure out what it can do and can't do as soon as possible. Secondly, I read an article in the Discovery Bay paper a couple weeks ago that talked about the rate increases and the great services that are provided by this board, and how none of the money, the 30-some percent, increases over the next couple of years are going to be used for development. So the first thing I wanted to do here is enter my official protest for the rates. I have it written as I'm supposed to. And I'm entering my protest primarily because you went about the process while withholding information that this board had that was relevant to the process. Secondly, I'm entering my protest because I don't believe the premise going forward is correct, and I do believe you are generating funds and you are going to be spending funds directly for the future development, for future housing development in Discovery Bay. Even though you say you aren't in the newspaper, indeed you are, and if you look at your water master plan that I've just taken a glance at, indeed you are. So that's the basis for my protest. Secondary to my protest, I noticed that you all do believe you provide quality services, but none of you will drink the water here, which I think is ridiculous. Look at, you got this bottled water you buy from some municipality, you slap your label on it, and you won't drink your own water even though you're jacking our rates and you say you produce quality services. Either stop drinking the water or stop talking about your quality services.
Thank you, Jeff. Your 3 minutes.
There's
I appreciate it. Anybody else have any other comments to make?
With respect to his protest letter, if he could leave that with Carol, that would be great. Thank you.
Hearing none other, this closes public comment. Area agency reports. Lieutenant Burton and company.
Hey, I didn't know we could bring up our posse.
You don't need one.
It's a mini-me.
Oh, no.
Did you tell them the board doesn't ever get a ticket?
Yeah. I was going to come up with something like, I start pass? With 2 minutes of song and then I go into my report.
I'll go with a joke.
You got more than one year here? Yes. Anybody been saying you have one?
Well, good evening, everyone. This is officially my last meeting. I can't say how much I've enjoyed this assignment and really appreciate and respect so many people in this community. I was telling some folks today that, you know, when I took this over more than 5 years ago, this relationship between the sheriff's office and the community was really strained at that time, and some of you were here. I was kind of reflecting on all the things that we've been able to accomplish, and I think more than anything, the relationship is what I'm most proud of, and I really feel strongly about that. And that, in order for that to happen, it has to be a two-part deal. There has to be work on the community side as well as work on our side. And so for those of you involved in that who have helped me with that, I sincerely thank you. I will miss this assignment. I know I've had people laugh and say, no, you won't. Yeah, I will. I really will. This is, I've used the term, I am your chief of police, and I really feel like that. And so I will miss this, and so I just want to make that known. And I'll be working in Martinez. I'll be the assistant division commander in investigations. So obviously, if anybody needs to contact me or needs me for anything, I'm more than willing. I brought with me, this is Lieutenant Alan Johnson, AJ. AJ comes from, he's been in Black Hawk as the chief of Black Hawk PD in a contract for the last several years. I have the utmost confidence in AJ, and I think you guys are going to be real, real happy with him. And, I think he'll take this thing, hopefully, in some new and positive directions, and we'll just keep this thing rolling. I think things are good. The 4th of July, from the 1st through the 5th, we had 31 fireworks calls, which is not remarkable at all. On the 4th, there was the most, expectedly, and there was 13 on the 4th. So we're doing pretty good, considering I was trying to think back to my first report on that 4th of July, and I know I had multiple pages up of calls on the 4th, and it always seems as though it depends on where you live as to whether or not fireworks were better or worse than last year. As I've said before, I typically do a rain dance on the 4th of July, and at that day, I hope everybody, the economy is bad for everybody when they're trying to buy fireworks. So, any feedback? Does anyone on the board, did anybody have any specific issues on the 4th? Was it good, bad?
I was home on the 4th, and it can be worse on any other day, it seems like, than it was on the 4th this year. For whatever reason, our bay, Marlin, tends to have very energetic and exciting people over there.
It was the night before.
Oh, I was at my parents' still, so I
didn't. It was the night before.
Was it really? Okay. Well, on the 4th, it wasn't bad at all. On Monday night, it wasn't bad at all. We didn't get home until about 2 o'clock on the 4th. So,
overall, it seems, we've taken some steps. We obviously have had to scale down some of the resources that we've applied, but I've also done that with kid gloves, and because it gets better, I don't want to just pull up stakes and say, okay, everything's fine, because it's going to be something that AJ will continue to work on and monitor, and I've explained to him that really is a high on the list of quality of life issues out here, and it's something we need to be on top of. So hopefully, wherever you live, you saw what you wanted to see. If you wanted the fireworks, you got them, and if you didn't want them, I know Oakley was a war zone at my house. It was crazy.
That was good.
Anybody have anything for me?
Any idea how the good comes driving West Coast for the weekend?
I don't know. We typically will do turnovers to CHP. I know that the resident deputies were busy this weekend with more alcohol-related misbehaving kind of stuff, parties and people being stupid. I don't know of any of those that turn into a drunk driving, but I can find out.
Right?
Yeah, I'd just like to say Joe. I've worked a few years and saw a lot of different lieutenants, and important a lot of great things to this job, and served this community very well, and we'll miss you. Good luck on your next assignment.
Thank you.
From all of us, yeah. Mike, really appreciate your caring about our community. You showed that repeatedly, and it reflects in your guys. So we appreciate all you've done, and look forward to developing that same relationship going forward.
Thank you all very much, Ms. Mayor.
Go ahead.
First of all, I want to say one thing I appreciate about you is you answer all of my questions, no matter how stupid they are. Okay. Now I have another stupid question.
Okay.
On page 10, I worked at a high school for 15 years. Exactly what is an uncontrollable juvenile? That's the way you've got it listed. Okay.
Well, you would be amazed at what people call us for. My child won't go to school.
Oh.
If, you know, for me, you know, I never call, will never come from my house, but... we get those calls, and we have there's a couple of young folks out here who I had a conversation last week with a gentleman who called me, who was the uncle of this child, who kind of bounced around from family to family, and the kid is out of control, and one of these is that kid, and it's when a child is misbehaving to the point where it's not criminal necessarily, but somebody that is where we've had to respond and maybe take some sort of action, or something has occurred that was unique in that call, and so the deputies will document it under the uncontrollable juvenile. But you'd be surprised how many calls we get on a morning. Oakley PD gets the calls of, you know, little Johnny won't go to school, but you know, my 6-year-old won't go to school today.
I wish I hadn't known that when my boys were in high school. I would have been a lot of fellas.
I wish I knew I had that option when I was a kid, because my dad would have slapped the heck out of me. So I just got up and went.
Yeah. Any other questions for any final parting comments for Lieutenant Burton before he moves on to his new assignment? Well, thank you again, Mike, for all your hard work. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
And welcome, AJ.
Yeah, welcome. No applause for you, Chief Burris. Come forward. Step to the front, please, sir. How are you doing this evening?
Did you bring your equipment?
Yeah. I'm not so fortunate. I'm Lieutenant Chief Burris. I represent East Country Crossing Fire Protection District. I see some new faces in the audience, so I'll start with my usual. Your fire protection district is a series of fire stations, not just one standalone fire station. So there's an umbrella of protection. So if you dial 911 because your house is on fire, you'll be getting fire as far away as Oakland. So conversely, if Brentwood gets a fire, your fire engine might not be there. So if you have some kind of medical emergency, don't drive to the fire station, actually dial 911. Does everybody understand that? So with that being said, for the month of June, we had 59 calls. We were down from May, we had 69 calls. 28 medical calls, 1 structure fire, no vehicle fires, 11 vegetation fires. It's the season with the fireworks, and all of those people who wanted to test the fireworks before July. 4 dumpster fires or exterior fires, 6 auto accidents, 3 fire alarms, 3 public service calls, 2 smoke investigations, an airplane crash, and a boating accident. The airplane crash was a mistaken alarm. We went out and looked for it, and there was nothing there. And the boating accident was somebody water skiing in Camarillo and fell and then was struck by a wave runner and then swam to a house. So, I'm not making this stuff up.
Just keep it real, babe. Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw that, and I thought, you're not supposed to be going fast enough. And
that was my first question.
Yeah.
You know, how we got going that fast, but anybody have any questions?
I just had a question regarding the reporting of incidents, and just wondering why they always identify it as Byron and not Discovery Bay on the incident reports.
Well, originally when Discovery Bay was first enacted, It was a housing tract within the community of Byron. So I don't believe that the CAD system has been updated.
All right.
That's not arguing.
And you know it's not even consistently like that. Sometimes there are some of the first report came through as Discovery Bay, the second one came through as Byron. It might have been, who knows, whoever was reporting the report.
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on exactly where the call came from.
Gotcha. Any other questions from the board?
I have a question regarding this weekend's activities. In and around respect to your response over the weekend, do you have anything? I know we'll get it next month.
Discovery Bay was unusually quiet. We didn't catch any palm trees or any structures on fire. I believe there was one exterior fire, just a little grass fire, but Oakley, Brentwood, Antioch were off the hook for about an hour and a half there. They were crazy.
So I'm driving down the Highway 4 towards Safeway today, and there was a little flaming ball of tar on the road. Nice ball of tar. Somebody's probably a tar truck
probably
or something dropped.
Yeah.
And so I swerved around it, and then somebody had gotten around to us, got a stick, and put it out in the grass at McDonald's. But I saw a truck right afterwards going after it. But, you know, it could have rolled over into the field there. So.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments from the public?
I also recommend our next fire board meeting will be July 11th.
Absolutely.
It'll be an open forum round table where the fire board members will be stepping off of the diocese and receiving input and feedback from the community.
We'll be there. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it
very much.
Good to see you. Okay. ECCFPD. We do have a representative on the board named John Jewell, I believe, but I don't, is he here this evening?
No.
Okay. Well, should I do it at this point or should I wait until I get my
fire board? Oh.
Huh?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll do it under director's comments. I was at the last ECFPD and I have a short report, but anyway. Supervisor Mary Pifo's office, Karen, at the last minute was not able to be here, and she sent us an email saying that she wouldn't be able to. And a couple of updates she wanted us to bring to the town's attention, and that is the continual work on Vasco Road. They're still doing lane closures, so keep your eyes open as to what the signs say as with regards to one-way traffic. And they will be putting up a new sign to reflect the 2010 census, and they are going to put up a sign that says welcome to Discovery Bay as opposed to entering Discovery Bay. So I think that's going to be kind of an improvement, and that will, I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's in the works, and probably by the 2020 census they'll have that taken care of. That's it for area reports. What do we have for committee reports? Anything?
Code enforcement did not meet this month, so we will be meeting next month. Or we will be meeting this month, I should say. We did not meet next month.
You'll give me an email.
Okay, moving along to the consent calendar at this time, are there any changes or corrections to the consent calendar?
I'd like to pull item 5 for a, minor correction on the agenda recommendation.
Okay, so let's move item E5 to item F4. Is that correct then? Or do you want to just pull it completely? Pull it completely or move it?
I can change the direction.
What you should do is this, vote on the remaining consent agenda items, and then immediately handle the items.
Any other comments or clarifications with regards to the consent calendar by the board? Okay, any comments from the public with regards to the consent calendar? Okay, hearing none.
I'll make a motion we accept it.
I'll second that. The motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Staff, did you want to comment on E5?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The agenda title refers that we would be accepting the dedication of Ravenswood Park in open space parcels. It identifies the parcels in the agenda title as well as in the recommended action. But it refers to accepting from Contra Costa County. We are actually going to be accepting it from Western Pacific Housing. apologize for the error, but that's...
In essence, it changes nothing other than a technical aspect.
We'll change the resolution to reflect Western Pacific Housing.
So when it comes, okay, when it comes back for approval as a resolution?
Well, what we'll do is we'll correct the resolution tomorrow. If you can make the adopt staff recommendation with that change from county...
Do I have that motion?
To Western Pacific Housing.
I'll make that motion.
Motion's been made?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Clarification? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving to our new business items. I believe that we have a present.
Yes, this would be the presentation of the fiscal 9-10 draft audit financial statements. And Mark Croce and Pauline Sanguinetti are both here from Croce & Company, and they will present the draft audit for the board and for the public.
Good evening. If you would just... No, I'd like you there. That's perfect. But just make sure you speak into the mic because it is recorded for the website.
Perfect.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I think that most of you should have a draft copy of the financial report in hand. What I'll start with is a brief review of the financial report. I'm going to try to go through this as quickly as I can because it's fairly voluminous, and I'll try to bring out some highlights for the board. And then there are two correspondence letters that are also a part of the package that we will review and go forward with. This is your June 30th, 2010 audit report. As is traditional with the town of Discovery Bay, because your accounting involves both accounting for activities at the district level as well as activities through Contra Costa County, where they still handle the accounting for the district and have been unwilling to transfer that responsibility to the district, the accounting reports for Contra Costa County typically do not finalize for the June 30th year until January, February. So part of the timing has to do with Contra Costa County and the way their accounting system and cycles work, and then our ability to then bring together the accounting data at the district as well as the accounting data from the county. Moving forward into the report, you can move into page number one, and we have our independent auditor's report. This is a clean opinion. We are giving the highest level of assurance that we can. We're indicating that what we are finding in the report is accurate, and it's materially accurate, and we do not have any adjustments that need to be made. In addition, we comment on the management's discussion and analysis. That is the first pages 2-10. It's kind of a written description of what went on at the district. That's a supplemental data. We've made sure that the information matches, but we have not specifically audited that information. You will notice that the report draft is not dated at this time. We are still waiting, as we have for quite some time, and I believe we sent three requests to Contra Costa County for confirmation of the district's investment account balances. And unfortunately, we have not been able to receive a reply. I know they've had some staffing issues as far as furlough days and cutbacks, and they're indicating that should come as soon as possible. But this is now on request number 3 and 4 for that confirmation. That is what is holding up the dating of the report. Moving into the financial report, we have the management's discussion and analysis. We can take a look at the financial highlights. This is a really high-level look at what happened in the district over the 09-10 fiscal year. Net assets increased by $388,422, which was a $119,000 increase in the activities in the governmental fund. Your governmental funds include the lighting and landscaping districts, 8 and 9. It includes also the community center. On the business type activities, we saw an increase of $268,600. The business type activities are your water and sewer funds. Total assets of the district, $43,430,628, with capital assets being $34,500,391. So of course, as most community service districts would be, your predominant assets are capital assets, your sewer, water treatment systems, etc. Total liabilities and consist only of $562,806, and we can go through those liabilities later. This district has a very light debt load. That's primarily due to the fact that it's a fairly young district. Your infrastructure is fairly new and has primarily come in semi-recently. Assets of the district exceeded liabilities, $42,867,000. And then on a current financial resources basis, this is a different look, and we'll get through some of the detail later on. Your revenues, your expenditures exceeded revenues by $97,469. You need to spend $97,469 more than what you brought in. And the proprietary funds, these are now your water and sewer, the expenses exceeded revenues by $269,900. So this past year, given the revenues of the district and the expenditures out in both your governmental activities and in your proprietary fund activities, which include water and sewer, the district spent slightly more money than what it took in the form of revenues. And again, this is the 09-10 fiscal year, not the fiscal year that began July 1st, 2010. Moving forward, there's some information about the financial reports, the notes, etc. We have some tables on page 4 that just give you some detail about current assets. And then on page 5, it gives you a little bit of summary information about revenues and expenses. And you can see here that what we're talking about. Now, again, I have to explain, the way the Governmental Accounting Standards Board requires us to do statements, we have to prepare statements on two bases of accounting. One is the full accrual method of accounting, one is the old-fashioned fund basis method of accounting. This information is based on the full accrual method of accounting. So on this method of accounting, on your governmental activities, lighting and landscaping, community center, for 2010, you brought in, on a full accrual basis, $19,600 more than you spent, compared to last year where you brought in $307,977 more than what you spent. On the business type activities, water and sewer, loss of $269,900 this year, loss of $225,007 last year. This includes depreciation on your utility plant in service. Again, full accrual versus just the what we call the current resources method of accounting, which is basically like cash accounting. Page 6, you get some nice charts kind of trying to compare things years to year. That continues to 7. On page 8, we have information again, more about governmental funds, proprietary funds, detail about the property, plant, and equipment on page 9. What you can see is there were some increases in land in their governmental activities. This primarily has to do with a number of easements and small strips of land that were added to your lighting and landscaping. I believe that's zone number eight. That's what we have there. And then you will also see an increase in some of the assets relative to the valve box in the golf course was another improvement that was made during the 09-10 fiscal year. We did talk a little bit about economic factors. During August of 2010, the district did improve increases in rates for water and wastewater service charges of 9% that were effective July 1st of 2000. And that number there should be July 1st, 2010. So we are making that correction in the final report. That is on page 9. So that was the fact that there was an approval of a rate increase for July 1st, 2010. Page 9 at the bottom. Moving forward, we can look at page 11. Again, I'm going to move kind of warp speed here. This is your statement of net assets. Same information in detail, governmental activities, business type activities. Again, your district is very fiscally sound. Your total liabilities, $562,000. Total assets, $43,430,000. Very light debt load for an entity such as this, again, due to the age of the district and the age of the infrastructure. Most of your net assets are invested in capital assets, net of debt, which is very small, and you have the remaining assets unrestricted, that means this board can choose how to spend the $8,367,431. You know, it's not like that goes very far in today's day and age of doing anything, but nonetheless, that's what's there. Statement of activities starts after that. It is a two-page foldout when it will be finally issued, so this really intends to be opened up for two pages. You can see by your different types of activities what the expenses were for that activity, what money came in from charges for services, from operating grants, capital grants, all the way across until you can see the total expenses or revenue from that program. And so you can see your governmental activities cost you $514,871. Your water and sewer activities, net of charges, this is, we show what you charged for the water and sewer activity, cost you $318,000. How did you pay for that? You paid for it with some general property tax money, homeowners property tax relief, $22 of some other tax revenue that came through from Contra Costa County. There is assessments that this district receives for the lighting and landscaping, and I have to remember zone number 8, 9. My zone's 8 and 9 is confused. And so that is one district where there is an assessment that does come in. You have investment income, capacity fees, and there's $32,000 of other income. This primarily relates to the fact that the district had a generator stolen during the 09-10 fiscal year. You received a recovery from the insurance company. That insurance recovery, because the asset was fully depreciated, becomes a revenue to the district. The replacement generator was purchased and is now being depreciated. So if you're wondering what's $32,000 in other revenue, it's primarily that generator. We'll move forward over to the balance sheet. Again, this is now for your governmental funds. You can see the different funds. General fund, community center, lighting, landscaping, etc. So each fund, you can see how much money is in that fund and what's there. The general fund column, we're required to put it there because that's just the requirement of accounting standards. This district does not have a general fund. It's a community services district. You have pretty much all of your funds are earmarked for specific purposes. And the closest thing you have to a general fund is the community center, but it's really set up as a special revenue fund. So that is not a general fund, but we are required to show the column, even though you don't have general revenues in the district. Moving forward, it's just the same thing. This is governmental funds, statement of revenues and expenditures, same data we saw before, different sort, moving quick, but it's just lots of numbers and columns. If we get over to page number 16, you have your statement of net assets proprietary fund. This is now just your water and sewer activity on the basically cash method of accounting. So you can see your assets, liabilities, net assets, and the following that you can see revenues and operating expenses for just the water and sewer activity. On page 18, you have a proprietary fund. Again, this is the water and sewer cash flow. So you can see that from operating activities, the water and sewer brought in $802,356 in cash. You spent $1,395,332 in capital and related financing activity. Most of that was acquiring capital assets. And then from investing activities, you brought in $10,778. So from a true cash basis, money in, money out, only water and sewer, $582,000 went out more than what came in. So again, it's a little confusing because of the different methods of accounting and how we keep converting back to cash, but this schedule to me tells me a lot. This is as basic accounting as you can get. Money in, money out, water, sewer, $582,198. Net cash out during the year. That includes the purchase of capital assets and equipment. Following this on page 19, notes to the financial statement describes the reporting entity. From this point forward, most of this information is fairly consistent from year to year. It's information about the different funds, the zones, what the proprietary funds are. It describes the bases of accounting and what they mean to the district. So all the way through pages number 26 is information about the statements and give you more information, very consistent year to year. The one item that I will want to draw your attention to is on page 26, midway through the page, where it says new accounting pronouncements. Of course, I'm an accountant. I've been excited about new accounting pronouncements, so this is my little time to let you know what's coming down the pipe. And next year, there is going to be some changes in how your fund balances are reported. We are going to be requiring the district to be looking at their different types of net assets and indicating if there are any restrictions, if there is going to be more information about board set-asides and designations. So this is something that has been required by the Financial Accounting Standards Board. It is effective for your fiscal year end, June 30th, 2011. On note B, cash and investments, we're just indicating what you have. You do have $8,517,887 in cash and investments. Where do you have your money? Deposited with financial institutions, $564,957, $3,940,367 with the Contra Costa County Treasurer, and $4,012,563 is sitting in investments. These are very secure. They're sitting with the local agency investment fund, which is a pooled fund with the state of California, and it is invested primarily only in AAA and better rated type instruments. We come down and you can see what's allowed in those investments and what that means, and you can notice that most everything you have, you know, you don't have any local bonds or things like that. It's all bankers' acceptances, prime commercial paper, etc. Regarding interest rate risk, I can tell you that everything that's invested in the local agency investment fund is invested in 12 months or less, so there's not a long-term interest rate risk. And regarding credit risk of your investments, that's the risk that an insurer of an investment will not fulfill its obligation. And basically, when you come to the end of that, if you look on page 29 at the top, everything in the LAIF is AAA rated. And you do have one small certificate of deposit, $6,563, that is not rated. Moving forward with information regarding on page 30, you can look at your notes receivable. This is new. Under the provisions of Proposition 1A and part of the 2009-10 budget package of the California State Legislature, this district decided to go out and borrow some money, essentially, is what you did. Now, that's not really what you did. The state came back and they took certain property tax money from the district and created a borrowing program to replace the money. So you essentially just got the money back, but the borrowing is technically done by the district, and it is designed by the state to be fully paid back by the state, and you don't even have to worry about it. So you got your money, you're not gonna have to pay back the borrowing. The state of California is going to do that for you, and you, like most districts your size, chose to take advantage of this securitization program. There are some transfers between funds. We do talk about capital assets on page 31. And on 32, we have a pretty good detail of all the activity in the capital assets from last year to this year. As far as that goes, I think the remainder of the statement is pretty straightforward. We talk about the governing board. We do indicate at the very end there are some commitments and contingencies, and those are just some general litigation activity in the normal course of business, nothing that we feel is material to the financial statement. So that was kind of, as much as it didn't seem fast, as fast as I could go through this in the financial report. Does the board or others have questions that I can answer?
Questions from the board? Chris? Any questions for the public? Okay, well,
Well, your district is, you have a well-financed, well-run district. I mean, you have a group of people that are pretty fortunate to, you know, in this economy, to be sitting with this set of financial statements is fortunate.
Staff, did you have any comments?
Yeah, a couple residents.
Staff, anything? Is there action to be taken on this tonight?
I'm sorry. After the board has any questions, right now, any input for Croce Company, we will go ahead and Croce will go ahead and finalize once they get the information back from the county and bring the report back and finalize it at that point in time and take an action.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your report. Thank you for coming out. Appreciate you. Well done.
Thanks.
Perfect timing, Ray. Okay, moving on to item F2, award of contract to Cornell Park play area renovation project. Staff.
Darren Perez is going to give a report on this, and I believe I haven't been out there yet. I went to that yesterday. We broke that yesterday. Today on phase one. So
Sure.
He's going to go ahead and give the report.
Thank you.
This went fairly smoothly, straightforward. This was phase two to the Cornell Park player renovation. This included only the installation of the playground equipment and the board and play safety surfacing. We only received two bids on this project, which wasn't really surprising because there's not a lot of people that can bid on the board and play. Of the two, the lower bid came from Community Playgrounds, a very reputable company. We've worked with them on the demo of Cornell Park. I've worked with them in the past. Everything with their bid package is complete, their licenses, and all with other requirements are satisfactory. And we recommend awarding the contract to Community Playgrounds in the amount of $52,238, which I wanted to state was under our estimate.
Any questions from the board on this? Questions? Go ahead, Rick.
Can you remind us of the timeline on that installation?
We broke ground today. There's a 25 working day construction period for phase one. Hopefully that's no sooner. And then they have this phase two, this 21 days. We're looking, hopefully, to be completed in August.
So Labor Day weekend party?
Yeah.
That's the plan.
What a camp out.
Camp out would be good.
Thank you. Sorry. Any comments from the public? Okay, hearing none. Do you have something? Be my guest.
Make a motion we accept bid and award construction contract in the amount of $52,238 to Community Playground.
I'll second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. Final time for comments. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Farron, thank you for your presentation and for your hard work.
And Farron's assistant this evening is Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah.
Hello.
Welcome. Okay. Reports. President's report, director's comments. Directors, do you have any comments? I'm sorry, F3. I missed something.
That's why the Daigles are sitting here.
I did notice the Daigles back here. Mark, how are you? Good to see you.
Good.
Barbara.
How are you doing?
Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is an agency comment request coming to us from the county. It is for a home remodel located at 1020 Discovery Bay Boulevard. The contractor is here this evening, and I have some slides to show you that Barbara Daigle sent over to me yesterday. It is a remodel of a home from two stories. It's a fairly comprehensive remodel from two stories to add a bedroom on the third level with some modifications. The county, I believe, has just thrown in the last couple days where they would like the contractor and the property owner to move the garage further towards the street a little bit, I believe 15 feet?
Six feet,
I'm sorry. To break up a little bit of the height, if you will, to step it down. There are photos or drawings here in the packet, and I can show you those a little bit better, a little bit clearer on the screen.
Please.
And Barbara, Mark, either of you would like to come to the podium, maybe describe what it is we'll be looking at that might be helpful for the board.
Well, I'd like to say something before we start this. Actually, my husband's not
building is for money. He is, I think, his
an innocent bystander.
Yeah, he is. Michael Jackson is a contractor of his own right, and he's going to be doing his remodel. This started over a year ago, and it's being misspoken. It is not a two-story house right now. It is a house that has a garage that backs into the RDECE, where we cannot go. So he has a garage and a one-story house above it. So I said to the county, it's 1.5. He said, no, it's 2. So we've been going back and forth for a year, and basically I said, we'd like you to break it up. Despite all acknowledgments of existence of monumental, monolithic three-story houses, all of which they agree exist, none of which they had a problem with in the past. They were just stuck on this house. So they came to say that if we would just work with them a little bit and move the garage 6 foot forward and pull the master bedroom suite back 2 feet. The house as it stands is a 1,200 square foot house, which is very small by the standard standards, about equal to the condos, the Blue Roof condos. The master bedroom is just under 1,200 square feet. So when it's done, it'll be a 2,400 square foot house with a garage into the RDECE. Because of the engineer's scope of the lot, that's what we were given. So what you're looking at in the front elevation is what we would like it to look like. Anyone who knows this house,
what's the address, Barbara?
1020. It's a little blue house with two ugly garage doors. It is an ugly house. We've been trying to, this one right here. Anyone would like to pass this around? This is the small little one is the back of his house. The one next door is a normal two-story house. When this house is finished, it...
Just between Cabrillo and Discovery
Point? Yeah, from between Cabrillo and Discovery Point. It's the third house before you turn to Discovery Point. And, yeah. We were obliged by the county to... Normally we take midpoint in the house and show that we're under the 30-foot limit. In this case, the driveway is steep, and they still required us to go from the front of the garage and prove we're under 30 feet. We've met all the requirements. Yesterday was the day at which they should have any comments from the public, and I really hope this moves forward for the homeowner, since they're on the path to their own. And that even skips the one that's 950 Discovery Bay Boulevard, which is absolutely straight up three stories. Most of us know it's a house that was boarded up with plywood for about 5 or 10 years before somebody bought it, finished it, and it's absolutely three stories. So what he really has is a 2.5 story, which we exempt it from all of this. But no one's listening, and so I'm here before you just to see if we can
moves this
forward for him.
Question for staff or legal at this point. What is it exactly that you can or can't do here tonight in regards to this?
They're just seeking your comments.
Okay.
So if it's a little outside of your jurisdiction, okay. However, you can make comments as a board.
Okay.
So is the overall height of the building, it's under 30 feet?
It goes to 30 feet.
Perfect.
But I said, in all of our building experience, we were usually held in standard that the midpoint of the building had to be under 30 feet because our lots slope up. And this time they held us to the front of the block. It's actually a little front. So.
He said it'd take it from the sidewalk.
Oh, it's true. We wouldn't have made it then.
Is the height limitation 30 feet?
It is 30.
And where is yours going to end up?
30 feet. Just under 30.
Okay.
So if we have no issue with it, then at this point, our correspondence back to the county should be up to issue.
No problem.
All right. The response that we would send is that the board considered their request for public comment from our board. Our board took testimony Agenda is no comment on the project.
Does the board have any comment on the project?
No.
Does the community have any, does the public have any comment on the project? My only comment would be is that the Daigles have been building homes here in Discovery Bay for a long time, and every time they do it, it seems like they improve upon what was there before. So I would just, you know, whatever you want to. We definitely don't have any negative issue with that, so that's, at least I don't. And do we have to do a vote on this?
We got a vote.
Okay, can I get a motion then?
I'll make a motion. I make a motion.
We okay with that, Counselor? Okay. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Staff, please move forward with that letter. Thank you for coming again. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys.
Okay, now we get to go to President's report and Director's comments. Director's comments? Mark? Brian?
I did have one.
You don't have to make something up.
Go first.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
I have one that I
did. Chris?
I just want to comment on the community camp out at the Cornell Park. It was well attended and had good company out there. Probably had a couple hundred plus people out there, and it was a lot of fun. So looking forward to doing that again.
Still in a quandary, Brian? Okay. The only comment I have, a couple comments I have. First of all, I did attend the last ECC FPD meeting. It was a special meeting, and it was held to hear the report by the ad hoc committee. Prior to the ad hoc committee being able to give their report, another couple of board members decided they were going to do their own report. So after authorizing an ad hoc committee, they then subverted that committee by going off on their own and doing something different than what the ad hoc committee had been directed to do. This caused the ad hoc committee to throw up their hands and said, why are we doing this if you're going to go ahead and subvert what we're doing? And so absolutely nothing was accomplished at the last ECC FPD meeting. It was really disappointing that they are so far apart from each other that they can't even allow themselves to operate in some sort of a reasonable fashion. I did turn in a written report prior to the end of the month, and that is my verbal report on that. The other comments I would make have to do with the Egeria Densa, and I just will say that we went out on a tour of the bay a couple days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, last Saturday, and I was amazed at the difference in 2 weeks. That the process is working at this point in time. I too am concerned about the fact that they seem to be washing their hands clean of this, although being a state employee, I do understand the budget constraints, and I feel two ways about this. First of all, it doesn't make sense to start the project and not see it to completion, but also understanding that they spent a good percentage of their entire state budget on a 17,000 population community in the middle of the Delta, or 13, what are we down to? We're down, really, 13,000 in community, and I am appreciative of that. So with that being said, I think that I will turn it over to staff. Are you next anyway?
Yeah.
Is staff to tell us more about Egeria Densa and what's going on?
I'll go ahead and move on to that item first. I did make a copy of the email from Lucia, from Acting Director Lucia Becerra of the Department of Boating Waterways, made it available to the public in the back of the room, as well as an email that I received from her and a number of us received from her on Friday, July 1st, regarding current activities over the current weeks. And she did indicate, please use caution regarding direct consumption of water, algae, and plant life during outdoor activities, and that they would not be applying this week on Tuesday because of the holiday, and they were to be doing it today instead. So that's back there for you also. As you know, I went on a tour a couple weeks ago with the GM Becerra with the Department of Boating Waterways, as well as some of the scientists that were involved, and Director Tetro attended along with us and Supervisor Pico. And we boarded the sheriff's 38-foot boats and went into every bay and Discovery Bay. And the pictures kind of tell the story here. This is one of the back bays. This is pretty far back in. It's almost the end of Clipper Bay, if I have my bearings correct. And you can see the water's really cleared up in this bay here. What we see on top of the water is the algae sitting on top of the Egeria densa weed. And they drop this hook down into the water. And when they pulled it up, and you can see the water all around is clear. You can see the Egeria and the algae. When the Egeria canopy collapsed, the algae collapsed with it. You can see the algae wrapped around the Egeria in that picture there. I think it's pretty definitive. This is a shot of a leaf, one of the Egeria buds that is starting to get that opaqueness that we heard about back at the meeting, at the town hall meeting, that it would start to turn that way. This picture here, I think, really tells a story. The stem on the left was cut from the marina by the gas dock when we left that morning, and the two stems came up out of on the right. You can see the golden color there, and it's dying away. The areas where you can see the weeds still, the algae, I was told that the day before this picture was taken that the canopy had not collapsed yet, or had not begun to collapse yet. But Ray, you remember they said in the last 24 hours, there was just, in this one bay alone was just such a huge improvement. The scientists were pretty shocked that had taken place. Again, canopy's beginning to collapse here. And there's Satinder from Senator Desaulniers' office in the photograph. This is just a picture of the algae as it clings to the weed, and it's really a pretty nasty cocktail that I wouldn't want to fall into or drop my cell phone into. This is the scientist on the left in the blue shirt giving us all pretty much a description of the different types of weeds and the process that's been taking place. This is one of the worst bays. I believe it is, I think I have it here. Hang on. I'm sorry. But you can see that it is
in the back
areas. It's a little slower to recover. Or it's a little slower to collapse, I should say. It's in one of the back bays. A little slower to collapse. And this isn't the hyacinth. This is the, what's the other weed called, Ray? Remember? The pennywort. Yeah. And they're not applying for that. They're not spraying for that. And you'll see here in a moment. Photograph that is the picture here. The good weed, I should say good weed, but it's the healthy weed on the left, and again the dying weed on the right. Here's Surfside. I put that in there so I would remember the street. You can see the penny work, and there's also some hyacinth in there, and this is that same bay right here. So they were a little disappointed in the results in that bay. And I think that was one of the reasons, one of the things that led to their decision to come back and spray. This is one of the scientists from UC Davis, who's one of the foremost experts in the field with respect to aquatic weeds and weed control. He's a real asset to have on the team. And I believe this is Ray's Bay.
Marina.
And this is, again, one of those bays where the application hasn't worked as well as they had hoped. It's closer to fast water, and so it's not getting the same type of stagnation, if you will, that the other bays are getting.
That's gone.
It's gone now?
That's gone. That's because they took their boat to go through it and chopped it up.
Okay. And this was...
It's going to end up in our bay.
I think this was Lido, part of Lido. And you can see this is one of the bays that was 4 weeks or 3 weeks behind the application process beginning. And that's a pretty healthy strand of of the Jerry Densa there, so. Which led to the letter we received from...
That's all the pictures you have?
I have a lot more of those I want to show you.
Oh, okay.
I got more if you want.
No, you'll say that.
Yeah, but the DBW has agreed to extend by an additional 4 weeks in both areas, Area 1 and in Area 2. For those of you who know the map, it's the blue area is Area 2 and the green area is Area 1. So we've got another 4 weeks of applications in Area 1 and another 7 weeks of applications in Area 2. And once those applications are done, the product still continues to work for another 6 to 8 weeks. 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. So we're hoping to see some of those improvements in some of those bays that have not had the results that some of the other bays have gotten. And it's been interesting that I've been getting a lot of phone calls from people that have been complaining and sending me emails over the past couple of months who are now just amazed at the results I can get out. It's just incredible. But on the other side of the equation, we have on the east side of town, some of the east bays, they are working towards, they were going to go in and treat those bays. Unfortunately, due to the proximity of the intake valves to some farmlands and the toxicity of the application of the pesticide, the farmers raised a pretty strong lobby against that. And so that will not be taking place. I did put a call in today because there is a possibility that they might come in and do some spot treatments in certain areas on the east bays, on some of the bays on the east side where they do know they do have a problem. We saw some of those when we were out there. This past Saturday, Director Steele, President Graves and I took a tour. They wanted to see it on their own. We went out Saturday morning for a couple of hours. Again, went into many of the bays. We didn't get back into some of the back bays, but you could see Director Simon's bay is really a poster child, I think, for the success so far. In less than a few days, it went from being able to walk across to being almost completely gone. And so we're continuing to monitor it. Her comment at the end of the email, I think, alarmed all of us. I know Mr. Barber referenced it earlier. I've already been in contact with Rec 800 on it. I've been in touch with Supervisor Pico's office on it. We just got the email last week. I think that we are being proactive to an extent, to the ability that we can. I haven't spoken to her, to the chief of SARA yet. I do have a call into her with respect to what does this really mean? Are you going to wash your hands of this, or will you be there to assist us in some way, whether it be financial, whether it be expert, whether it be technical support? So we're going to need to be addressing this in the future if we're going to keep the base clear. So I just wanted to give you that update with respect to the Jerry Densa and some of the items that have taken place as a result.
Thank you for that report. Mark?
When you speak here, I think the issue that's coming, I mean, this is all wonderful that they got our bays cleaned up, but we anchored out for 5 days in Vanville on the 4th of July. When I left my house, we went down to Bacon Island for Empire Recovery, when it was from Mildred, out of Mildred, in the Three River Reach.
Right.
And I can tell you that when I brought my boat back in, when I went to bring my dinghy in, but I carried a ton of it back in with me because it's everywhere out there. And I know on the bottom of my cruiser, and on the bottom of my dinghy, when I pulled out on the trailer, it was hanging off the prop. Yeah, it was everything that dropped right back in the water. So when we got into Three River Reach, it absolutely, you know, I think it stopped the boat. I went through there and it stopped the cold in the middle of it. I had to raise the motor, take all the crap off of my hand, and let the motor down that far, like the top of the bottom of the water. I just have to go inside. Couldn't move. I guess that way, it's going through the middle of the same way. That's all coming right back.
Okay. Brian?
I have another thing when you talk to her. I was pretty sure that the Department of Boating and Waterways I was under the impression that they were the only ones that could get the permits to treat with sonar. So, you already know the answer to that?
No,
is there a question?
I guess I'm predicting your question, I'm sorry.
When you talk to her, can you find out what, you know, how we can continue to treat this? I mean, can we get the permits as the people?
Yes. I know the golf course has applied in some of their lake areas. I know Rec 800 applied last year in Willow Lake and removed the weed in Willow Lake. And so, yes, you can get the permits.
Okay.
If you are able to get it. I did see something come across an email this afternoon where the Clean Water Act is tightening with respect to pesticides in the waters, specifically with aquatic weeds. I didn't get in depth in it. I'm going to look into it a little more just because it came across Willow Lake this afternoon. But it seems like this is an evolving subject that is just really blooming. That choice of words, it's just really blowing up nationwide. I know it's a problem everywhere.
Chris, do you have any?
Do you have an idea? What was the cost of this project or what they're estimating on spending for this? And if we could get a breakdown on that for future discussion?
About $300,000 for Discovery Bay.
It's
$3 million.
$3 million.
Mostly spent at Frank's Track.
$3 to $6 million was implemented to control the plant at this time, and I don't know how much of that was in Discovery Bay. I know that Bethel Island, where they applied also, they had much greater success, and so they are not going to be extending the application times over there. They're only doing it over here because the water flows, wind, currents, I don't know the exact reason why, but it was more effective over there, and it dropped out a lot sooner. So be sure.
Well, I think thinking of a little higher concentration than this, we have the balance
that's
of
right.
Our concentration because of the irrigation.
That's right.
Proximity to our.
I'll find that out for you.
Next.
At the last meeting, Director Dawson, sorry, Brian. What's your name? Director Dawson asked for an update on the internship program. There's an agenda report there for you. If you have any specific questions about it, actually I had the intern write the report for me, so he's doing that as well. I will say that Jordan has been an asset. He's been helping me a lot. He's been getting into some things and you know, we've had him fold a few envelopes, but for the most part, he's really been working on, right now the thing I've been working on first and foremost is putting together an emergency action plan. That is a comprehensive plan. He's been working on that. He's been doing a very good job on that. And I'm pleased to have him here. He's really been an asset for us. The next item I wanted to discuss real briefly is to update you on last, I believe it was the 27th of June, I forget what day it was, there was a SSO, sanitary sewer overflow, over off of it says Ames, but it's not Ames. It's Amesbury, over near Ravenswood, over about a block away from when it's over school. Approximately 20 gallons seeped out of a small hole in one of the small little holes in the manhole cover, and approximately 2 gallons of water actually reached a storm drain. The storm drains were dry due to the weather, and it was captured in the storm drain. 100% of the spill was captured and returned back to the plant, was vacuumed out. We believe that the spill was the result of a reseal that had been created, and it backed up, and once it was finding a volume of pressure, pushed the reseal out. That's a relatively new neighborhood, as you know, the last few years, and so we're going to keep an eye on that spot in the future. But we went in, the only staff went in, they cleaned the entire system and that throughout that entire neighborhood to make sure we don't have any other issues over there like that. And Mr. Fisher, who's with Water Quality Control Board, responded that based on the size of the spill and minimal threat to human health or the environment, there's no report required. So we're pleased to see that.
Great.
So that's that item. And then the last item I have is I would like to ask the board to select a date to review the water master plan at a workshop. I did speak with John Fawcett this afternoon, and I do have some dates that he is not available. And those are the weeks of July the 18th, 25th, and the week of August the 8th. the week of August 11th. I'm thinking maybe next Wednesday might be an opportune time. The week of July 11th, which would be August 13th. So if we did it on Wednesday.
Next Wednesday?
Yeah, if we did it on Wednesday. The week of July 11th, the week of August 15th, and the week of August
22nd.
Good, bring a cake to Chris.
Yeah, what would you rather do on your birthday than hang out here?
Would you like to do the week of August
27th?
And August is fine. July is not going to work.
August the 15th.
No problem.
17th.
That's our meeting.
That's our meeting week. The week of August the 22nd.
What's wrong with August 10th?
He's out of town on the week of August the 8th.
24th?
I'll be here the 8th and 9th.
The 24th is the 24th works.
So we don't. It's not time sensitive, obviously. Then that's too much.
Well, I think that this board and the community have been looking forward to the results of the master plan and engaging that. It's not time sensitive in the fact that there's not anything that's critical that needs to be addressed right now, that I think that the board and the community have expressed an interest in having this item, as well as the wastewater one.
Is he out of town the week of the 25th, is that what you're
saying? I'm out of town the week of the 25th.
Let's just go with Chris on his birthday to do that.
All right.
How about Saturday?
My birthday's Friday. Let's go
17th. That was subtle.
So July? Oh, August 17th is our board meeting.
So
let's do the August before that.
July. I'd really like to see this done as soon as
possible. It doesn't have to be a Wednesday night.
It doesn't have to be Wednesday night.
You took on a whole week?
Yeah. We could do the week of August 11th. It doesn't necessarily need to be the 13th. I'm sorry, July. The week of July the 11th. It could be next week, it could be Tuesday, it could be Thursday.
Can't do it
Thursday,
next week. Okay, good. Too slow. Too many meetings already scheduled.
21st.
Actually, I could do it on the 14th.
The next 14th is Thursday?
Will you be recovered from your birthday by
the Always.
Week? I'm fine with the 14th. What do you for
Can Fawcett bring some of it and we can have a meeting?
Yes, John Fawcett can bring this.
He's running?
Yeah, he said Fawcett.
Is Fawcett running that?
Yeah. So is July the 14th?
Yes, sir.
A week from tomorrow, the 3rd to 14th?
Yes, sir. 7 o'clock.
Is that a 4-hour meeting or
yes,
what?
Yes, well, we'll send you out. You received the water master plan. Carol delivered that to your home. Mm-hmm. And I emailed it to you both. Or I emailed it to all of you. But it was delivered with the board packet on Friday. So you got that. It will just be an agenda, one item agenda. We will definitely send out a reminder.
Okay, will you have your information that you might want that?
Yes.
I want to be able to.
Yes.
Okay. Are you done with your report?
I have one real quick last item that's not on the agenda, and that is the Community Center Committee. Director Steele and committee member Jim Madison and I will be going on a tour on Tuesday, Chris, with the Community Center. And we're going to be placing, we have a survey as part of the Community Center survey, www.discoverybasedsurvey.com. So please go take that survey. And we will be doing some advertising with the Discovery Bay Press. And we're going to have a sticky note on the press. It's going to go for two Fridays in a row. I believe the 22nd and the 29th. And Andrew is going to do a nice little story for us as well.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
I believe that Director Dawson has something that he would like to come back to.
Thank you. There is a bill being discussed in Congress right now, H.R. 1837. It was put forth by Rep. Nunez. And I think it's really important that the residents of Discovery Bay and the Delta region as a whole
contact all their representatives and let them know that we are vastly against draining the Delta and getting rid of, you know, Northern California water rights. Nunez's deal is very, very draconian and would really, it would drastically change our way of life.
His name's, it, you're, well, it's N-U-N-E-S, though. So don't, yeah, you make, don't get too Hispanic on it, so it's not, there's no Z, it's Nunes, or Nunez. But what's the bill number?
1837,
H.R. 1837. Because I looked it up under Nunez and it wasn't there, okay? I had to look under Nunes.
You
have
a question?
Yeah, who had a question?
Before we leave the Ujiri Adensa, could there be some public comment?
Yes. Sure.
Only if you brought enough weed for everybody.
I'm sorry, Nunez.
That's only if you brought enough weeds for everybody. You bring weeds to Ujiri Adensa with you?
No.
Go ahead.
Wow. No, I think what's happening on the news is really great. I think there's some real progress being made, but I just wanted to follow up on what Director Steele requested, and that is the $3 to $6 million that's being kicked around was mentioned in the acting director's report. Doesn't make sense to me. This project does not seem to be labor intensive, and so it appears that the majority of the cost is on the herbicide. And if we could get a handle now while the Department of Living Water Degrees is down here working with us on what Director Steele said, what's the breakdown of the money? Where is the money going? And for what community? How much of that is $3 to $6 million is being spent for us in preparation for next year, when somebody other than the Department of Building and Waterways is going to pick up the bill? And I would hope that you could follow up on that and get that. What is the breakdown? How much is being spent for us? And how much is herbicide? How much is labor? And whatever other elements there are, so we could get a better handle. I just don't believe $3 million is being spent here in Discovery Bay. Thank you.
Can I, one more. I'd like to make a comment on that, in that when we were on the boat making a tour, and they talked about the we need follow-up. They mentioned that we can't stop, we got to go on with it. So, but it won't be to the extent that it was this time. In other words, if we go again and do it again next year, it should be a lot less maintenance. So it's more of a maintenance issue. Mm-hmm. We've got to put a plan together so that we have basically a plan for all weeds, not just the Adensis. There's a lot of different weeds out here.
And a plan on how to fund that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree. The one, yes, Mr. Barber.
Sorry. With respect to how much, whatever the amount that they spent, is probably more than a contractor would spend or a different entity. I have the opportunity to watch them every week launch. Six boats, at least 12 people. I watch them stand around, sit around. I watch them spread the stuff. They probably have twice the manpower, at least 4 supervisors every week. Tons of state waste in this. If you don't believe me, watch them launch at the marina. I don't know where they come from, but it's a big deal. And lots of sitting around. They had 2 people today sitting at the dock for at least 2 hours, just sitting there. You can buy this stuff on the off the internet. You can't take it and use it here, but you can buy it. Anybody can buy it. I know people have bought it for their own farm use. So you can figure out what the price is if you find out how many pounds of the different stuff. Now, I've spoken to the actual guys who spray the stuff and who've worked out in Frank's Trek for 3 years. And what you hear from them is different than you might hear from the bosses. But they have been spreading out their stuff out there for 3 years. It's taken 3 years to get to the point they're at now. So if they stop now, or if they have to artificially back off the plan or a normal plan, then a lot of money will be used.
Thank you. Any other comments on the Ujiri Adensa? Ryan.
I have one, and I want to echo what Ray said. I think the important thing. Well, the important thing is to acknowledge that Ujiri Adensa has never been eradicated anywhere in the world, and it is something that is going to be a constant, you know, maintenance issue that we're going to have to address. So
it's a Okay, and I need to also readdress the issue that was brought up under President's report, and that is the East Contra-Costa Fire District. I think that that staff should be directed to write a letter to LAFCO expressing our displeasure and concern over the attempts at Oakley and Brentwood to disband the ECCFBD by undermining that district for their own benefit at the peril of the outlying areas, and somehow put that together as a letter to LAFCO. Is that something?
Would that be for the president of the board's signature? Mm-hmm.
You guys, you behind me on this?
Of course.
Don't we need to vote this agenda item against you to take action on?
This is really not an action item. It's reportable, so you can direct staff to draft the letter, bring it back to your next meeting for
okay.
consideration.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we'll make a motion to accept it. Okay, could you do that for staff? And if you want to, I will get together with you and provide you some information on that. Yes, comments?
I just want to add a couple things because you probably all aren't getting the full story on what's going on there, but I had the opportunity to go to both the ad hoc committee meetings that they had. They're making some great progress. The skeleton group, there are three. Labor was represented, along with myself. And just over the course of two meetings, it had gone a long way. It was probably solving a 10-year-old festering problem. I don't know what they'll happen to people, but I don't know what happened to last meeting with Pat Anderson on the left turn. Caught everybody off guard. There was a lot of discussion. We were in the parking lot probably an hour and a half afterwards, and everybody was looking at each other trying to figure out what happened there. And then I've also gone to two Brentwood City Council meetings. You may or may not be aware of, they formed an ad hoc to try and basically lead the district. And they took action last week to actually formally move forward that application to do that. Now, I forwarded an email to Director Dawson Graves, which you guys might want to read that. I think if you're going to address LAFCO, just address it on a couple of points which are within their scope of action. It's very easy. They have a certain purpose in life over there. And if you just address those things, the two main things that you should be focusing on is in a LAFCO application, they cannot take an action on an item or an application that has negative impact on the surrounding community. Obviously, Brentwood leaving the district is a very negative impact, so attack that. Second thing is they have to consider applications and the orderly delivery of services. Those are the two main things. Obviously, if Brentwood again leaves, they're almost half of the revenue for the district. That's not an orderly delivery of services when it comes to fire. So you don't have to get real creative on it. Just attack the things that LAFCO actually does, so that when Brentwood's application gets there, and I don't believe Oakley's going to go that route, by the way, but once Brentwood's application gets there, they get shot down, hopefully get put back in line. Let the ad hoc that they've got going, they're very close. I've seen the preliminary numbers suggested for the assessment that will put the district on solid footing. Reopen the stations here, bring in ALS. I mean, it's a major jump, and it's not a huge number. So I'd like to see the ad hoc fine-tune that number, bring it forward, bring it for the full board, get everybody behind it, and you can get the station reopened here. We get ALS in district-wide. The solution is very close if you people will just get one.
Thanks, Bob. I will say that the mantra that keeps coming out of the people from Brentwood's mouth is return to source, return to source, return to source. So I asked a question of Chief Henderson. He and I met for coffee the other day, and I asked a question of Chief Henderson, and that is about how much of the revenue for the district comes out of Brentwood, and he said about 48%, which seems like a lot. That's half of the entire district. And how many calls are generated by Brentwood? He said about 46%. So I think that's a pretty good return to source. So they're yelling and screaming about this, but the fact is they really are getting return to source because they're using the majority of the services that they're paying for also. So they are paying a lion's share, but they're also using a lion's share. Any other comments on the fire district? Yes, go ahead, Chris.
I think they're going to go down the road here, and if they don't get this worked out soon, I think the LAFCO and the supervisors are going to look at combining the districts. I think the West County has got quite a good system out there, and I think the East and the West fire districts are going to be merged at some point here, but these guys can't get their act together, so I'm frustrated too. My neighbors are frustrated. I want ALS here, so let's get it going.
Committee updates? Legal counsel.
No report, sir.
Thank you. Welcome back. Committee updates? Correspondence listed. Public records, none. Future agenda items. Any? Go ahead.
Rick, I brought this up I can't even remember when, but it was a while ago. I'd like to look at our connection fees for new homes and for new development. Find out when was the last time we increased that, where it's at, and maybe think about, as a board, increasing that number.
That should be part of the workshop.
Can we do that? Do you want to do that as part of the workshop?
And comparable.
It would be part of the... You can't put the connection fees before you determine what your capital needs are relative to the 10-year water sewer master plans.
Okay.
So I would suggest that we go through the... These have been a big topic of ours internally. We've been talking about it. But I think that to have a discussion on it, this might be a little premature.
Okay.
But it can certainly be a discussion throughout the workshop discussions and that sort of thing. If you want me to put together something on how it works and how it all comes together, I could maybe do something like that for a separate
can
board.
Can you send a reminder to
discuss what that costs money?
Oh, yeah.
Scale of what other municipalities are charging?
I've already got that, yes.
Thank you.
Any other comments?